You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 156 of Fourth and John. I am Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn. And I'm telling you, we have a problem. Philadelphia, we have a problem with liftoff. The offense has been yet to be seen. I think we're at this moment, we're going to have to put a missing persons on the offense on the side of milk cartons across the city. Because at the end of the day, Doug, you lead this ship. We have no map. We have no direction. We're left out at sea, and it's a bad look right now. And you want someone to be accountable for this. You're trying to look and force yourself to find some kind of every week. It's mental gymnastics for Eagle fans across the nation. This should not be a normal thing week after week after week to try and make some kind of sense out of the offense. Because at the end of the day, this offense does not make sense. Carson Wentz, the play calling, again, we'd like to have you on the move. We'd like to be outside the pocket. But there's times you have to make throws, man. You have to make throws. And when you're sitting in a situation like this, for those who are on the podcast who can't see the live screen at the moment, it's Carson Wentz in the pocket with the open wide receiver in the flats, and Ruby Miles about to be open on the flare. You got to make those throws, man. That's a generic route for any quarterback in the league. You just hit those plays, and he's $100 million man. You got to make those plays, and we're not asking for much. And now there was parts of the game where I thought, like, would this be a perfect moment to sit Carson when all is going wrong with the team? You know, obviously Jason Peters getting worked. Jason Peters looked like the OG on the corner that used to be is now getting mugged on the street corner, and you're like, bruh, someone save him. Save him. Doug Peterson, your ability to escape the easiest thing possible is run the football. Run the football, Doug. It was working until Miles Sanders fumbled, but you have to go back to the run game. Again, nothing makes sense. The offense doesn't make sense. The defense is out there all day. It's just ugly, and we're not used to this. Is this rock bottom, Evan? How are you feeling, my friend?
Well, that's literally what I was just about to get at. So I'm looking around. I'm scrambling for the bright spots that could potentially be found in this offense, in this team. And there aren't any. What we've officially reached rock bottom. This is what it looks like. I have never, I can't tell you the last time I've felt this feeling that I have right now, where I just want this season to be over with. Like, I've officially reached that level of the just dread and misery with watching this team week after week. It's not fun. nobody enjoys watching this team go out and struggle as hard as they have. I expected completely different things out of Carson Wentz when he signed this contract. I expected completely different things when Doug Peterson stood on the steps and told us this is the new norm. Those guys are complete strangers to me at this moment. I don't recognize them. Carson Wentz, I'm really like hard pressed to say that like you need to be benched at this point. How do we keep on rolling you out? You perform so pitifully game after game. It gets worse every single game that goes on. The interceptions, the meatballs he's throwing up there, the fumbles, the safety, the no awareness at all. He's costing us games, and it's not just him. It's the play calling. Doug Peterson needs to be held accountable. I think that we have to have a serious conversation. We need to look ourselves in the mirror. We have to recognize this coaching is a major, major issue on this team. We might be looking at some major, major moves going on in this offseason. Doug Peterson, I don't know, man. Would Eric Bieniemy be better in your position right now? Those are the types of things everyone's talking about. And how can you possibly sit there and argue the other side? I understand everybody has these feelings and this love for the team that brought us the Super Bowl. Guys, we are far, far from that. We've come a long way, and I want to win in the future. So I want a winning team. I want to do what it takes to make that happen. And if that means we have to cut ties with people that we know and love, so be it.
Internally, they have to make moves, and they can't allow egos to step in the way for them to move in the right direction. It's imperative. It's imperative to be responsible and realize what you're seeing week in and week out from this offense. There's issues, and it starts with Doug. Prime, how you doing, man?
That's all I could do is just laugh, man. It's a shit show. You know what I mean? Going off of what Evan is saying, yeah, it's time to clean house, man. We got to get away from the people that we love. I don't love you guys no more. So take a hike, pack your bags, get the fuck out. It's a wrap. Jason Peters, who were you today? Like, you look like this was your first season in the NFL. Like, it's ridiculous on how you let Vernon just take over the game today. Carson, again, bad decisions. Yeah, I was with you, man. Like, I was ready to just cave in and be like, look, sit him down. He's making poor decisions. Something needs to get cleaned up, and it's frustrating, man. Like, just watching that game, period, and that's all I can say, man.
Yeah, Luke. Luke's checking in. How are you doing today, man? You were giving us that energy post game. It's a difficult scene. Post game, thoughts?
Brutal. Can you guys? How's my audio, by the way? Perfect. In the car.
Yeah. Okay.
Good audio. Yep. All right. Weirdly enough, I just drove by the art museum, and when we were there three years ago, watching them celebrate a Super Bowl. And now we're like, well, this is probably the worst team we've had in a while. Carson Wentz played terrible. I think a lot is to blame on him, but also the O-line played absolutely atrocious. Jason Peters got beat on every snap, literally every snap. You watch 71, he's getting beat every time. Wentz, and this was before the last drive, Wentz had 20 attempts, 20 passing attempts. He was harried on 14 of them and hit on 10 of them. I mean, that's just absolutely insane. I don't know how any quarterback in the league is going to fare with that. You know, I've always been a Wentz ride or die type of guy, and I'm starting to slowly but surely paint the clown face on my own. And it really, it sucks because you see the guy play so well for two, even 3 years, and it just feels like it's just everything just went out the window. Like, what happened? Like, it's gone. It feels like, you know, that magic that the Eagles always had, you know, they were the underdog. That's gone. That's long gone. And it frustrates me as a fan. More than it frustrates me is like, it pisses me off because it feels like the last 3 years we were building something so big and you're thinking, wow, you know, the scope of the Eagles franchise might actually change. You know, we might be heading in the right direction. And it takes all of about 4 weeks to just be like, yeah, no, that's not what's happening. And it's just really, really frustrating. I'm sure you guys all feel the same way.
Yeah, shout out to the Eagle fans that are in the chat. For those who are listening on the pod, this is the post-game show, and it's very interactive with fans. If you want to jump on the podcast, let us know. Give us a shout, and we'll send you an invite to the show. But there was a message from Jeff. He just mentioned about, you know, talking about the same lame excuses from Doug. Now, yeah, I go back to that press conference with the beat writers where he's berating the beat writers and kind of like being snarky and being like just being a real dick about it. And you look at this performance this week and you're like, this is what we're talking about. Like, you come up here smug as fuck and try to outsmart everybody in the room when we all see what's they should have never gave us Eagle fans all 22 because we see everything. So don't there's nothing to trick us about this football team. We know what we see. But at the end of the day, Doug, I started to think this thought in my head. This is coming towards a divorce between Doug and Carson, and it's the children left in between. Which way do we go? Do we go with mom, or do we go with dad, or we go on our own here? Because you're wondering, like, which way does this franchise moving forward look at Doug and Carson? Do they need to put another play caller in place to right the ship? Perhaps we need a new captain. We need a new admiral, maybe. Who is that guy? Because obviously it's gotten stale. They have to come up with some situations that make sense moving forward. Because at this given moment, they got to come up with something. Do you guys really believe that there's going to be change?
Not immediate. What I would like to see is small steps being taken. So what we've seen out of Jalen Hurts so far, and the funny thing is that I've been completely against this all season long. I've been against the two quarterback system. Obviously, I hate that. I hate the whole Taysom Hill concept. But I want to see more of. I want to see Jalen Hurts for an entire series. I would like to see that sort of thing happen. I think Carson. We need to sit him down. There needs to be a check that's made here. We invested a second round pick in this guy. As many of us don't like that, as many of us wish that there was another pick taken. Gail, you're looking at me that way, but what do we have to lose at this point in the season? I would like to see what we have in Jalen Hurts at this point, just to moving forward.
I'm not even looking at you. I'm personally in pain over here.
Yeah.
I'm just looking into the abyss. I was just going back in my head. I was thinking, is this like a Kevin Cobb, McNabb, Baltimore game, where you, even though shit's going wrong, you just throw someone in for a changeup because there's no better alternative.
What do you have to lose? I mean, I'd like to see how he throws the ball at least.
It's sad, man. It's not like at this point. Are you guys in the room, Prime and Luke? Are you guys? Just seeing the season for what it is and moving forward?
I don't think any changes are going to come during the season. I mean, crazy part is they're still in first in the NFC East, which is it's going to come bite us in the ass, honestly, because we're going to get a shitty pick and we're just going to be right back in square one. But I don't think any changes are going to come immediately, at least coaching-wise. And, I mean, as long as Jeffrey Lurie's been the owner, they paid Wentz and – I mean, we've been in this situation before with coaches and quarterbacks, and we got to kind of pick one road. And the Eagles have always picked the quarterback road. They've always kept the quarterback and got rid of the coach. So, I mean, honestly, I think they probably do the same thing. I think after this year, if nothing ever comes to this year, which, I mean, it's looking like nothing is, I think Peterson's gone. I don't agree with that, but I think, I mean, you just judge – you just judge the history, and I mean, Lurie takes the quarterback side, so I don't know.
There's a lot going through my head right now. First of all, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, there's just a lot going through my head right now. I mean, like, Doug Peterson cannot do this shit on his own. It's like, do you fire him? Do you not fire him? Right now, his play calling is ridiculous. It proves that when Frank Wright was here, you know, they did things together. He had his side piece. That's what I'm gonna call it. His side piece, you know, getting shit done for him. And he doesn't have that. You know, he obviously doesn't trust anybody else, not in that coaching staff of his. Everybody keeps on talking about Deuce Staley. I'm one to even mention Deuce Staley, but it just doesn't seem like it's happening. They're not listening to us. They're not listening to the fan base. They're obviously going to go ahead and make these decisions amongst themselves, and they're bad decisions. You know, he needs to either bring an offensive coordinator coming into the next season if he is still our head coach. You know, it's like I keep defending Carson day in and day out, and I'm going to keep on defending him. Like, right now the coaching is horrible. They are coaching him horrible, but he's making bad decisions on his own as well. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know which direction to go ahead and put the blame on. One week it looks like it's the coaching. One week it looks like it's just Carson. One week it looks like it's Doug Peterson. The next week it's like, yo, he needs help. So it's kind of hard to tell. But no, as of tomorrow or as of this week coming up, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to have to ride this damn season out. You know, we got four serious games coming up. And right now, the way it looks,
oh my God,
four straight losses, five counting today.
T-Shad says the new norm. I coined it the new storm because the new storm has got hurricanes. It has tornadoes. And there might be another storm coming that we just don't know about it, but it's coming. So the feeling and the emotion that I have being a long time, you know, Eagles fan and seeing the ups and downs of multiple, you know, eras, I feel like this, if they don't do something right away, it's going to go off the tracks. And you don't want to go off the tracks. You want to have, you want to be on one side of the rail at least and get a new conductor if you're trying to save it at this moment. Because, you know, if you're an offensive coordinator and your offense is putting up straight ass for the last 5 weeks, how many points have we scored in like the first half? Again, like we might score or look good in the first quarter. We go like literally like three quarters without any offense to like the end of the fourth quarter. Like, that, this is not acceptable. How can Lurie look at that offensively, in an offensive perspective, and see how that's productive for this team moving forward?
And I think one of the most frustrating things with all of this is that, like, we're doing this with a roster. We've been giving them the injury excuse all season long, right? We've been talking about how, oh, well, you know, they're injured. You know what? They've got a lot of guys that have come back into this offense, a lot of key contributors these past few weeks. Like, we're seeing most of our offense out there, and this offense still is not able to put anything together whatsoever. To me, that points to coaching. That's where I'm standing right now. As awful as Wentz has been playing, I really think the core of this problem comes down to coaching. And I think Peterson's seat is a little bit hotter than Carson's, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Doug Peterson is definitely on a hot seat. And I would say that they need to go ahead and and fire that whole coaching staff. Bring in a new coaching staff in here.
You can keep Aaron Moorhead, though.
What's that?
We can keep Aaron Moorhead, though.
Yeah. All right. That's fine.
Yeah. But, like,
and I don't know. I mean, do you guys want to keep Deuce?
I think Deuce.
Okay. I'm okay with Deuce as well. But we need a whole new crew, man. It's just.
Yeah. And like, with Bieniemy, who's probably going to be available, you know, at the end of the season, if a head coaching job opens up. To me, if I'm choosing between Bieniemy or Doug Peterson at this point, I'm really hard pressed not to take Bieniemy, because what I'm seeing out of Doug Peterson is not what I signed up for.
But it makes you go back and think, like, what is going wrong with Doug and Carson? Because if you look back at the beginning of the season, you can kind of see where Doug is pretty much throwing Carson under the bus and saying he's got to dumb down his offense, basically, for Carson. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
For a fifth-year quarterback, these are not the kind of words that you talk about. You talk about the beats talking about Jalen Hurts. Very quick to defend him.
Yep.
Very, you know, very quick to defend him. Meanwhile, you got man's the ghost of Wrangler Jeans past making comments about Carson Wentz, and it's got to take him like, you know, I get it, but he didn't really convincingly say the first time. They had to kind of like ask him again, but it's like, it's just the way that he's handling the situation, handling the play calling. I question leadership. You talk about Carson Wentz having to mention that he had to address the team. Like, was that a moment that you had to address the fan base? Have to tell us that you addressed the team, mm-hmm. or talk with Spuds and have this Carson. I know you addressed the team. Like what? This is a team thing. This is an internal thing. Like, him addressing the team should just be what it is between the team. So the messaging that I'm getting is very awkward. Like, I've been talking about the whole season being awkward, yep. how everything sets up. But looking at the chat, a lot of blame Wentz, player hurts, Howie's got to go, Doug's got to go. John says, I have to read, Taysom Hill did better than Wentz today. Taysom Hill, come on. Shout out to John.
All the more reason to have Hurts out there next week. It's the worst that could happen.
Yeah. Cindy in the chat says, hey, guys, just today was to be expected. She was expecting this. Was a disgrace. Wow. Cindy, last week, you drove her to drink last week. Now she's, you know, just hanging.
Hope you got another bottle.
Have a great night, Cindy. Jeff keeps it real. He says he misses the Virgin Wentz. Popped that cherry and lost his ability to think. Jeff says, damn, wish I was wrong, but right again. Take the play calling away and damn Carson with his throws.
There's picks today were some of the worst throws I've seen Carson throw in his entire career. And the pick six, and they were meatballs, man. That, like, come on. Anybody could have caught that. My grandmom could have caught those picks. Like, it's inexcusable.
Yeah, Joey says, man, if Hurts is garbage also, I mean, well, it just goes back to the, you know, this is a QB factory over here, guys.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Yep.
The smug look on Howie's face and Coach Peterson's face in the second round when all of us Eagles Nation were waiting and willing to pick anybody but Hurts. But they're the smartest guys in the room, right?
Could you imagine if a beat writer comes to the post game with that and just asks, yo, Doug, how's the QB factory coming along?
Yeah, you want
to
get
snarky? I would love to hear that question.
You want
to
get snarky?
Yeah.
Clap back. Mike K, clap back for us. Shout out to Mike K for keeping it a buck and doing his job and asking the right questions.
Yep.
I don't know, guys.
I mean, the Eagles have been putting us in an awful position all year. This is our team before, you know, everyone, all these players, all these coaches, they're here contractually. We're here for life. We deserve answers as to why this team is as bad as it is.
Oh, man. Evan's like, we're here for life.
I ain't going.
Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. I'll be here until I'm 80, pal. Deshae says it's a culture thing. Larry got to get rid of Howie first. Howie's micromanaging Doug's roster, which is you make valid points. But I think Howie is the lapdog. Like I said last week, he's the Maltese, and Larry's the I'm not gonna say evil, but he's the rich rich man in the room. He's got his little lapdog, and his lapdog knows how to keep the budget, but as a lapdog, that's kind of disrespectful. I mean, I asked Howie Rosen for a picture last year at the Washington game. I'm sitting there calling a laptop. The idea of it is that's his guy. You know, that's his little groom guy over here. You know, so that whole idea of him figuring out who's going to play on game day and he's the guy that's making the decisions, yeah, again, that makes it weird. Because you think any other head coach is going to sit there and listen to a GM? Tell him who to play.
Yeah,
you think Bill Belichick has that kind of umbrella over his head? No. You guys are
I'm distraught. I'm distraught. I mean, I was looking at Baker Mayfield today, and I'm sitting there envious of the way that he's throwing the ball away in pressure situations. Looking at him like, oh, wow, see how he was able to just recognize that that play is going to go nowhere and just get it out of bounds? Like, why does Carson lack that ability?
Man, again, I mean, I just feel like from this standpoint, you have to internally, they have to figure out which way they want to go. Like, again, you look at a Cleveland Browns team that has an identity, right? They know where they want to go. They know the direction they want to move in, whether it's run the ball down your freaking throat, no pun intended. Joe Osman, your neck is still on the field. That stiff arm was 99 plus 10. That's the kind of identity. They know who they are. They know they want to run literally through your neck and do what they do. Manage the game with Baker Mayfield, even though he's not winning games for you. We talked about this pregame. They know who they are. This Eagles offense, we don't know who they are. This defense, we kind of know who they are. They're kind of bend but don't break, really. They get tired often. Again, we keep saying the same thing. Offense, offense, offense. Doug Peterson play calling. Get Wentz outside the pocket. I talked about the ball placement. I mean, again, we look at that still photo. Carson's got to hit that, man. Shout out to Marcus, who's on the show pregame. Can we talk about Alshon not going up for that catch? I thought it looked like a missed time jump on that. I actually
totally missed time.
Missed time to jump on that, or it was the throw was off. It could have been both.
That could have gone either way. That could have gone either way. But I mean, like,
it wasn't a good pass regardless.
Yeah, I mean they. then they take away that one play from us where it was a fumble, a clear fumble. You're going to talk about blow the whistle because of forward progress? Come on, man.
Yeah, that was kind of shitty. Shea was tight. He's talking about the fruity dance that Baker was doing. He wanted to knock his effing teeth out because he sucks. Hey, as much as I was mad, I posted the video. That's a man who's excited for his teammates. Like,
yeah, I mean,
last time you seen Carson excited for his just us being in a situation where Carson was excited enough to do something like that. It's like when we're out there, you know, we got dudes getting stiff arm in the neck and then hurdled in like between like three different plays, dude. How many guys have to get hurdled before someone gets disrespected on this and does something about it? And then you see guys like Cox, he's getting banged up. Kelsey's getting banged up. They're warriors out there, just giving it all they have. Hargrave, again, not really doing much.
All these damn encroachments. What was that, like 5-4 in the game?
Oh my God, Baker Mayfield was killing us with the hard snap.
Yeah, it was.
The hard count.
Shaquan says, Doug gets to go home with a paycheck and enjoy food. Shaquan, you can still get paid and get some food.
But the way that, just back to like where the great debate over who's in the hotter seat, I think that because of Carson's contract, that would lean more in his direction, that he'd be safe. I mean, that you think about all that dead cap space versus what you'd be losing with dropping Doug Peterson.
Yeah, what did Phillip Rivers sign with the Colts? 1 year?
I believe so, yeah.
Whoa.
Frank Wright's coming at the Carson, buddy.
Kyle says, Carson is staying physically healthy, but not mentally. That's pretty interesting. It's an interesting look on it. One of my tweets that I had let out during the game was about Carson. I was basically saying Carson can't be a gunslinger if he's gun-shy. And that's the whole identity of Carson Wentz, a gunslinger, right? A gunslinger is a guy who goes out there, he's playing off the moxie, he's taking chances, sometimes ill-advised, but sometimes – making huge, amazing plays. But then at the end of the day, this version of Carson, who's air quotes gunslinger, now has a double clutch motion in between ripping it. We've seen Carson rip a throw. Go back to the Washington game.
Yep.
Him out again outside the pocket, ripping a throw with ridiculous force. We are seeing Carson with guys who are open in the middle of the field or to the flats, and he's not able to hit the man. Again, guys are open. He is not ripping the ball when he has the chance. We all know what Jaws put out that stat. It was like after 2.6 seconds, his pass rating goes down. But like, this is where we are as Eagle fans. We're literally looking at the amount of time that you're holding the football and breaking it down to under like two. If he gets it out before 2.5, it's way up here. So again, quick release, get the ball out. Three-step drop, hit the read. If that's your first read, you're not hitting that, and your second read is check down Charlie, and you're, God. You know?
Yeah. And the times that he is hitting the check down, it's too late. It's like third and forever, and you're hitting the check down for a three-yard gain. And it's like, okay, great, you hit the check down, but what was gained, man?
Now, Jeff on Facebook says, here's my question, Carson. Why is he not pulling the trigger? He's rolling his shoulders constantly, but never completes the motion.
He had quite a bit of receivers open as soon as the play went off. Let go of the goddamn ball, man.
It's not even the first week. This is last. We just talked about this pregame, about him just letting it rip with Rager coming across, letting it rip, but there's the hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and John over here. Look at him. The disrespect here.
For which comment?
I don't know. shout out to Prime's brother. My guy is he's blaming it on his brother's tattoos.
What do you guys think about this? I mean, we talked about prior to the game how we thought it was a mistake for Mailata to ever be pulled out of the starting rotation after he had performed well. Do you think that moving forward now we can at least count on that? Have we officially seen enough of Jason Peters to be able to hang up the cleats on that one? Or
He should. I'll take the damn cleats off your feet myself, hang them up.
Yeah.
You should, man. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, and to me, that just goes back to coaching. He has the final say in who gets to go out on that field.
I mean,
it's a tough conversation with the dude.
Yeah,
like, Jordan, we are in a better situation as a team with Jordan Mailata in your position than we are with you. I'm sorry that it's come to this. That's the facts.
I have nothing but the utmost respect for that man. And listen, he is one that goes in there and makes a deal happen. He got his money. He got his, you know what I mean?
He did
whatever he did. But this year, you straight robbed us.
Yeah.
You straight robbed us.
Now, Brian on Facebook says, Peterson is directly responsible for the momentum shifting back coaching last week. Going to two for no damn reason. And today, not challenging, made feel fumble. Game changing, 100% on our coach. I know everybody wanted to challenge that, but they could not challenge it the way that they called, refs called it.
Yeah. Forward progress can't be called.
Yeah.
Even though they should have called it. But shout out to Jimmy joining the stream. How are you, my friend?
Oh, just peachy. Living the dream over here. Now, I'm all right. We talked about it before the game. I didn't go into this with – you know, I try to temper my expectations. It still hurts. Still sucks. Realizing the fact that Doug Peterson sucks right now, Carson Wentz sucks right now. I mean, you could point fingers at everyone. Howie Roseman, Jason Peter. I mean, this is bad, very bad. But, of course, we're still in first, so that makes it worse. You're just going to have to keep hearing things from Doug Peterson and the rest of the gang, all their excuses. So, yeah, I'm reeling right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have I think we're all on the same page. We've officially reached the point where even if the Eagles do get into the playoffs, which personally I'm putting it out there, I don't think they do. I don't think the Eagles win the division. As bad as this division is, I still don't think we win. I think the Giants could potentially win this division.
I mean, I at this point I don't want them to win.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point in time where as a organization, you have to think about what's best for this roster moving forward. Is that to develop younger talent and see who we got. As an organization, like, who do we got? Who are we rolling with?
We're doing a stock check.
Yeah, I mean, who makes sense for the cap wise? You manage the cap, Howie. Who makes sense monetarily? You know, you had to put that money in because of you. Alshon is out here. He's like that meme with Dave Chappelle where he's got the money. He's like, oh,
yeah. Yeah,
he got it. He can't catch passes because he got all that money, but that's not his fault. That's the situation at hand. And it's just at this point, like when you saw Alshon go up and then there was a mistiming and just the way that the interception happened, you're just like, man, this is what we are right now.
Yep. Yeah, it was a real hard slap in the face by reality. And just to finish what I was saying, like, I think we've officially reached that point in the season where even if they did make it into the playoffs by the grace of God, like, there's no coach that can escape the fact that changes need to be made at the end of this season. There's no, well, we made it into the playoffs, so they can skate by another year. No, not this year. Not after this.
Yeah, Jeff makes a point about Carson never looks to his left in the flat. Sanders and Scott is always open. I guess someone was saying that Sanders was open on the ball that he threw in the end zone, the left side of the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think someone was saying that in the chat. Respect to Kelsey, but now every single offensive line has been hurt at some point. This is true. I mean, with the age numbers in this offensive line, you go by the average, we got some guys that are getting up there, long in the tooth. And I mean, Jason Peters could start doing those geriatric commercials. He's getting up there in age. You see Joe Namath doing those type of commercials. He'll be doing those commercials pretty soon in the Philadelphia area. Orthopedic shoes, perhaps. It's just a bad
rolls.
It's a bad scene, guys, and there's no other way to put it. Like, you can't put a bow on a pile of dog shit.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think this fan base needs to come to grips with is this is not a quick fix. We're not looking at like you change one thing and then everything is all hunky dory. This is we're rebuilding, guys. It's official. It's officially rebuild time.
Well, look at Hugh Douglas. Shout out to Mr. Aaron Ortega. He said Hugh Douglas is now, clapping back at the Eagles Nation, saying, "I told you all Carson sucks."
Wow.
These are former players turning. This is the part of the season where we're turning on our own.
You know who's laughing the hardest right now?
Huh?
You know who's laughing the hardest right now?
Who's that?
Number five.
Five? He's number five. Number five will always love you. And Nick Foles is in the
still
back. Everybody,
the
come
best
on.
Quarterback in Eagles history.
But like I said, we put the invite out to Eagle fans all across the nation. You want to jump on the podcast? You have something to say? We'd like to hear it. We're bringing in Nick from Sacktown, if I'm correct. Coming in from Cali, wanted to jump on and give this
a lot play. Of Eagles fans in Sacktown. What's up, Nick? How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Nick, how are you feeling today right now? I mean, are you know, I know you got to be in a certain mood.
Oh, man, I'm feeling disgusted. Honestly, I'm definitely feeling disgusted right now because, I mean, this is a game that we needed to win because this next month is not – statistically on paper, it's not looking good. Tough games. We got the Saints, Cardinals, Seahawks, and Packers. So it's just like
it's a gauntlet, man. For sure.
Then we finish the season off with the Cowgirls and that football team Washington has or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's getting weird. It's getting weird for us because now I want to see what they do. Like, how I want to see the reality show, like the bad, crappy reality TV. This is what I'm looking forward to. I want to see how it plays out. I don't want to, you don't want to watch the shit or tell people you're watching it, but now you're watching it to see what else is going to happen. Like, you go through that gauntlet, you have, Seattle. You know, like, I just don't know what they're going to do offensively. Moving forward at all. Like, I have no more hope about the offense at all. But I think they can run the ball.
Absolutely not. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They just won't.
I mean, exactly. I mean, the first half we had 102 rushing yards, I believe. I mean, God forbid the weather conditions, you have Sanders banged up, Scott banged up, you know, so it's like you can only do so much. I know we brought
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard, yeah, you know, so we'll see if he's able to, you know, come up so we can have that, you know, three-headed monster again. Same for Clemens, see what's going on with him. But, I mean, what is it going to take? What else more is it going to take for Carson? I guess we'll still hope this season, yeah. Or should we just – Jalen Hurts, that's a big one. He even – Cowgirl fans hitting me up, feeling bad for me, like, dude, Carson's better than this. I'm like, wow, like, that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot for me, at least.
That's when it's bad.
It's like – it's like my buddy's diehard Cowgirl fan. You know, we watch games together all the time. He picked him up in fantasy and just had to tell me last night, yo, I had to drop him. He just wasn't working out for me. I'm like, wow, that's big.
You got
man.
A cowboy. You got a cowboy fan support group. That's the first.
That is yeah, the first exactly. Group. Exactly.
That's how you know you're at rock bottom
too. Oh yeah, this is, yeah. He actually bought me the shirt too for my birthday, and when I took a tour at the link last time when I actually met King.
I remember.
At the
pro shop.
This, yeah, and then we played the Lions. That was a disgusting game. But like, I wore the shirt specifically because he bought it for me. I took a picture next to the trophy and sent it to him saying, you can't relate. The five you claim, you never witnessed, you can't relate. So it's kind of like I'm trying to think of terminology for it, but. You know, it's like that's how you know we hit rock bottom when Cowgirl fans start to feel bad for us. That's how you know it's just the season's just trash.
Yeah, and to get back to your point that you were making in the beginning of that, it's just that like you're asking about like what if we inject Jordan Howard into this offense? Like, how much difference would we see? To be honest with you, like there's no quick fix to this. Like Jordan Howard isn't going to come in here and save our season. Unfortunately, I think maybe he could be a better alternative to Corey Clement. But I really just want to get to a point where I want to do a check on this roster. I want to see exactly what we have and what positions we really do need to work on. I mean, obviously, linebackers, obviously, we need to get some more depth on the offensive line. We're looking for a quarterback, it seems, at this point, too. But I want to see what Jalen Hurts has. I mean, we used the second-round pick on him. You know what I mean? If we use that second-round pick, we might as well see what our value is. And who knows? Maybe this offense clicks better.
That's when it gets real weird.
What was that?
I said, that's when it gets real weird.
Yep.
Well, Doug Peterson already said that Carson's a starter. You know, there's no possibility of that. We're burning. We're going down in flames here.
Yep. And I mean, like, when you put Jalen in offense, you know, he put a ball, one time a few weeks ago, completed it to, I believe, Dallas Gardner, I believe, down the middle for like 15 yards. Yep. After that, you put him in, you have Carson now at receiver. It's like, you know, you already know what the play is going to be. It's open book. It's completely just, it's there. The defense knows. Nobody, whoever watches football, when they put Jalen Hurts in, there's only one, two things he's going to do. That's it.
Yeah. Now looking at Rob's comment, shout out to Rob on Facebook, says, what do we do, boys? What's the real problem? If I'm gonna say the real problem is, I'd have to say chemistry. This team is lacking chemistry. It's lacking, I think, real leadership at this moment. I think there's no accountability. Players are – it looks like they're about to go into pointing fingers mode at this moment. Yeah. Like players are actually playing for their jobs. Coaches are coaching for their jobs. And there's no real cohesiveness to what we're seeing week in and week out.
I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if stories start to leak out from the locker room, anonymous sources, that sort of thing, about, you know, different players pointing fingers, different how players are feeling about coaches, just and so on. Like, we're heading that way, and that's what happens when things get ugly. There's no mysterious sources coming out of locker rooms when you have a good team. This is a bad team, and we are unfortunately haven't seen the worst of it. It feels like it right now, but after we go through this 4-game stretch, and Jimmy, just like going off what you said about Doug committed to sticking with Carson and riding this thing out, I really don't know what this is going to look like if we continue to do that. And this level of play we see week after week after week, it feels like we're going to be just slamming our head against a brick wall and just like, why does this still hurt? I don't get it. It's like, dude, stop.
Shout out to Birdman.
I feel like we will.
Another Cali representative. Cali is representing on the pod right now.
There we go.
Shout out to Aaron Birdman.
Birdman.
Oh yeah.
This is about the only. This is about the only good news I have, man. I just got my chain.
It's spinning and it's spinning and it's spinning.
It's spinning. That's about the only good news I got for Eagles fans. That's about
very
it.
Very nice, man.
I mean, with these next 4 weeks, how are you saying, like, hitting our head against the brick wall? At least we see it coming with these next four games. We see it coming. I didn't see it coming against the Giants. Definitely didn't see it coming against the Browns. But at least we have some type of, like, awareness of what's in store for us with the next four games coming up on the schedule.
Yep. How you feeling, Aaron?
I've been feeling this way for, like, 2 weeks now. I knew we were going to lose the Giants game. I just felt it that Carson's body language is so off. I can't read it. I don't know if you guys can read it, but his body language is so telling that if I feel that he's just losing the team, that we're just cursed with that whole damn, you know, Nick Foles thing, and it's never going to leave us alone, man. It still can't leave us alone. We got Brett Favre Wrangler, man, still bringing up crap, and it's just like we can't go past the rumorville, dude. We're always in the news for the wrong reason. Other teams can look bad, but the Eagles can't look this bad because then it has to point – someone has to be the fall guy. And right now, we're going to look for the fall guy. Who's going to be the fall guy right now? Me personally, I do want someone fired. Who is that going to be? I don't know. But I do feel like I want someone fired because this is just – dude, do you think – this is probably the ugliest I've seen it in a long time, man. And this is downright – I mean, I don't know how you guys are even watching the game. And all it's just optimism. We're just looking at the TV like, this is boring. This sucks. Like, what is this crap? Like, you're making our players look like straight losers. And we keep doing the whole merry-go-round with our offensive line. I'm so tired of it, dude. Like, leave stuff alone. Just – I don't know what you're doing, Doug. Look at his presser. He is so – his eyes are going up, down. He's breathing heavy. He is so uncomfortable, dude. And this is all bad. He's literally losing this team in front of us all right now. And this is just a huge dumpster fire. And bring more crap. If there's any more crap to bring right now, just keep bringing it because we love the storm. Like you said, Gil, this is a huge storm. And it's just turning into a huge tornado, like a F5 or something. This is bad.
Yeah, you know, with this kind of storm, you never will know where the wind's going to turn. But turning to Tim, shout out to Tim, also joining us. How are you feeling?
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
What's up, Tim? Tim likes to bring the wisdom. Always bring the thunder. I mean, how are you feeling after what you saw today?
I am hurting right now. I am like all of us around the country just wondering what product we're seeing on the field right now. I don't understand. I know Eagles Nation, Eagles fans want to, you know, kick blame to everyone and kind of single people out. But I mean, it goes across the board. I don't see it. Like you guys were saying earlier, it starts at the top. I mean, I'm looking at, I made a comment earlier. Where is the blame on Jeffrey Lurie? Like I don't understand what's going on here. Are you not watching what product is getting put on the field? Are you not watching where your millions of dollars is going? Are you not seeing this? You're running a business. This is your business. This is what you're, you know, invested in to bring Super Bowls and championships to this city, and this is what product you're getting on the field for a return on your dollar. I mean, I don't understand how this can be. You could sit in a press box and think that this is okay, and we just keep going through the same thing week in and week out, and we're just waiting for something different. Give me something different. I just don't understand. I don't understand. And we keep going back. I had a conversation earlier in the week with a Eagle, you know, huge Eagles fan, and he kept going back to the Super Bowl. And I get, like, everyone wants to go back to that time, but this is not that team. Like, Eagles Nation, stop thinking that we are this 2017 team. Like, this is a complete overhaul of what we had then. I mean, so and if you want to hang on to that, you want to hang on to any kind of remembrance of it, then look at it this way. What did we have that made us successful in that season? And let's forget about the postseason. What do we have prior to? We had a GM or partial VP of player personnel in Joe Douglas, who knew how to draft, who knew how to, you know, recruit guys and get guys that were coachable, that were going to learn, that were going to be able to produce in the end. And then what do we also have? We had Frank Wright, an OC, who is in Carson's ear right on the sidelines that Carson can go to and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing on the field. This is what I'm not sure about. What do I do? Doug, as a head coach, cannot do that. He cannot. And this mysterious, you know, offensive panel that he tried to put in place this offseason to bring out these creative minds is a complete dud. So what is going on? I just don't understand. I don't see it. Let's rip it down and let's start back to what we know. Like we did with after the Chip Kelly finasco. Let's rip it down and start and get back to the things that we know. We need an OC in the house. We need someone who can groom Carson and get Carson to be that 2017 that we all love. He needs an OC.
Yeah. This is like a beautiful house with absolutely awful foundation. It's just ready to crumble at any moment. And we feel like every week we're just waiting for the walls to cave in. I mean, it's bad, man.
Yeah, you talked about, you alluded to Jeffrey Lurie, where he stood. That's something I kind of made mention to on our last podcast on basically, does he need to come down there with a 52 angry men and without no t-shirt for Doug, like in a basic-ass coach, like t-shirt, like where, when, at what point does he step in and kind of put the smack down, like, no, Carson Walk isn't coming back and Mike Groh is not coming back. I'm putting my foot down. It's my team. They're not coming back. What time does he have this moment? Does he have this midseason? Does he have it after the season? That's the one thing that you have to ask. Like, you know, what are you doing, Larry?
Yeah, and I hope that there's not too much of an ego thing there because, you know, I hope that there's not leaning on that Super Bowl win a few years ago. It's crazy how far we've fallen, but like you can't move forward with this same thing that we're trotting out each and every week. It's not going to work. And just reminiscing about how good things were in the past isn't going to make our future better.
Yeah, time to stop with the nostalgia.
Yep.
Shout out to Chris, recently changed his obby because Chris doesn't look like a Joker clown with the Eagles hoodie on. This reminds me of the last Andy Reid year. Does this give you any Andy Reid vibes? Anyone?
Gives me Chip Kelly vibes, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Minus tearing the team apart and selling people unnecessarily, this offense, this whole game plan reminds me of Chip Kelly.
It's once again with, you know, we're giving power to someone who is not ready to have that type of power, you know, like that. But the quote we've said thousands of times, you know, throughout the years, with great power comes great responsibility. And Doug's not ready for this power to be have it. Mm-hmm. He's just not. He's not ready for that. He's a great team guy. He's a player's coach. He can get these guys somewhat fired up. It's a little bit harder now where we're dealing with 2020 and this pandemic and everything else, no fans in the stadiums. Okay, we get it. But at the same time, we need to have something done to bring this team together. Like something has to happen.
And I think what in more instead of Lori is what I was thinking about the ego thing with Doug. I think that Doug is looking at this situation. I don't think that he really views himself as the problem. I think that, you know, week after week, we're saying, yo, dude, this play calling is completely vanilla. Like, we need to switch things up. Maybe someone else needs to call plays. Maybe there needs to be another person in play design, an offensive coordinator, something. But this guy's looking at the fact that he's got a statue of himself outside the stadium. He's selling books after, you know, winning the Super Bowl, and he's just thinking about how great he is. Dude, you've got serious problems in your hands right now.
Let me ask you guys a question. Are we a product of fool's gold from last year, thinking because the division was so horrible, we limped into the playoffs? Are we a product of that, thinking that we actually had something when we actually had nothing? It was just that we were just in that bad division.
I mean, yeah, I said earlier that, like, even if we were to somehow limp into the playoffs this year, there's no coach that escapes the hot seat in this offseason. There's no, well, we made it into the playoffs, so we're going to let them skate one more year. That's not happening this offseason. Every single coach deserves an evaluation and whether or not they're going to be here or not. And if the head coach goes, you might as well clean house.
Clean house.
Yeah, I think we've been holding on to it for since the Super Bowl. So I agree with Aaron on that. You know, I think they've just been riding this nostalgia wave. And they talked about, oh, we're going to get rid of Malcolm Jenkins and some key pieces, but, you know, we'll keep JP out, given it was due to injury and stuff. But I completely agree. I think that this has been BS, and we just kind of been overlooking it. And now the shit's starting to really stink, and we smell it. And this is bad. So it's time to rebuild, and I think – Doug, you definitely should have had an offensive coordinator, and that's his failure. And he's not holding himself accountable or anyone else in the right areas. So This is a shitstorm.
Yeah, that's what I was saying in the group chat before we jumped on. Is just that, like, with Doug Peterson and that post game press conference, I'm so mad, man. Like, if he's so much, and with all his snarkiness, that how he treats the reporters and everything, if he so much as cracks a smile, I was ready to just start, like, punching, man. I'm so sick of the lack of accountability, the snarkiness, the kind of just in your face, well, yeah, I'm the coach and you guys are just gonna have to deal with it. We're sick of dealing with this team. This is the number one team in Philadelphia. This is, everybody in the city pays more money in merchandise and tickets in just time spent thinking about this team, and quite frankly, we deserve better. This is bullshit, man.
That was a message from Chip Kelly to Doug Peterson. He said, suck it, Trebek. At the end of the day, I feel like this franchise owes it to the fan base. This is a loyal fan base. Win, loser, tie. We're here. We're representing the squad. It's very hard to represent the squad because they, you know, to have trust in someone, you have to know who they are. And that's how you form trust. This 2020 football team, we do not know who this football team is. We lay no trust in the squad that you put out there. There's some pieces that resemble a former team that we love, but it's all weird. And we don't have faith at this moment. And you're right, Eagle fans have every right to not want to watch the rest of the season. We will be watching, but how do you guys feel about that?
Going to ride it out, man. You ride it out no matter what, but it's frustrating. I don't show excitement like I did in the beginning of the season. I don't show no excitement like I have in the past couple of years, but this is dreadful, man. I mean, I didn't think I was going to get back to this feeling like this so soon. And I don't know if it's because of all the shit talking we've done throughout the years or what. It's now coming back and biting us in the ass, but yeah, I guess that's reality. And the reality is we suck bad.
We suck again. James from Facebook says, not only are they bad, but their attitude is horrible. The atmosphere of this team is surrounded in makes it so much worse. I go back to that comment about Carson Wentz saying that he addressed the football team. I didn't like that. That's an in-house thing. You know what I mean? Like, you don't – like, hey, me and my team had a conversation today. We talked about team building.
Yeah, you keep that under wraps. You got problems, you handle them. There's no accountability, no recognition, no improvement week after week. I get it, man. I get why this season is tough to watch. It's been tough to watch since week one. We haven't found rhythm the entire season.
I'd say since the second half of the Washington game, it's been rough. I mean, I'll kick this out to you guys. I mean, we were talking, you know, we're just talking about what we're going to see, the product for the rest of the season. I mean, how many wins are we looking at here? I mean,
we might be looking at it.
Are we looking at a situation where we're purposely, you know, looking to tank to get a draft pick? Are we at that point right now? Are we at the point where we're like, hey, draft, yeah.
But for what? But for what? We suck at that too.
Well,
that's when the big changes happen. The better
opportunity to get a pick, you know, that you won't probably screw up. They have a better shot when they're up in the top 10 usually. The Eagles do anyway. But you kind of think, you're like, man, like if we make it in with five wins and we lose that that draft capital by going getting in the playoffs when you could just, you know, because I really don't until they get hot or they have a full team, like, all right, just follow me here. DeSean Jackson comes back later on. Zach Ertz is back. We have the two tight end sets. Can they get hot?
No.
Is Doug still calling plays?
Yeah. There is no getting hot this season.
That's what you answer my question for me. Like, you don't these are all like a wish and a prayer here.
Mm-hmm.
Scenarios. So it's like we can be real with ourselves. We all watch this team close enough. We know what we see week in and week out to know that I don't believe that these guys can get it done. Because it seems like it doesn't seem like 53 men who are in rhythm. You know? Brian said it's a dead bird.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys another question. Is if we get the right coaching in, is Doug gonna be too proudful and be like, take it as disrespect because he has to admit that he needs help, and then now we're going to be in a world where Doug feels disrespected? Or do you think he'll put his big boy pants on and fix this? You know, he needs help. I mean, he keeps saying he does it and he's going to get better, but how are you going to get better?
There's two sides to that. So if coaching changes end up happening and those coaching changes don't involve Doug Peterson leaving, they're going to involve – he's going to have a say in who comes in. He's not going to have total say, but he's going to – so if we end up bringing in somebody and Doug Peterson stays, it's going to be a guy that he pretty much agreed would be a good guy to work under his system. If Doug Peterson were to leave – Would he feel disrespected, you know, after leaving or whatever? I don't care. If we're winning football games, I don't care if Doug Peterson is feeling, you know, disrespected from his couch. That's not my problem anymore.
What do you guys want if this, you know, keeps going the way it's headed? What is your top priority that you want to see change with this organization? What's number one on your guys' list?
It's a tough decision.
Offensive coordinator,
man.
Look, we can sit here and talk about, you know, the defense did this or how, you know, special teams outside of the block today hasn't really had any kind of positive play in the last, I don't know how many games. I mean, we could sit here and talk about all of this, but the bottom line is that the Philadelphia Eagles football team goes through Carson Wentz. He is our $100 million quarterback. He is the franchise face. He is the guy. So with where he goes, the rest of this team goes. He is the captain of this ship. And without him getting the development and getting and having the positive growth that he is supposed to have at year five, we're not going to go anywhere. I mean, there's no way. There's no way. Don't matter what we draft. It doesn't matter anything else. Free agency doesn't matter. Carson Wentz is the Eagles. If he does not develop and become into the quarterback that we saw those amazing, you know, magical Wonderland Universal Studios, you know, shots in 2017, if he does not become that guy, we will be down here with the Washingtons and the Giants of the rest of this league. It is bottom line.
Yep.
Well, you said five. It made me laugh because it's five. Yeah, it is five. It's 5 years. It's not like 2, 3, it's 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But with that being said, how many more years are we giving him? Because we already kind of know, you guys touched on it last week, that they're probably not going to be any coaching changes going forward. So because of COVID.
Not this season.
And everything else that's going on, I don't see Jeffrey coming down from the press box being like, Doug, you're done. He's going to give him another year to get this ship rolling correctly in the right direction. I just believe that. I don't think that he's going to cut bait with the guy who won you your only Super Bowl. I just don't. I don't. So with that being said, how many more years do we rely on Carson? Because obviously Jalen's not ready.
I think, Jalen in the few times that we've seen him, it certainly has seemed that way. I mean, he's made mistakes, sure. But we really haven't even seen an entire series out of Jalen. So I think to say that Jalen's not ready is kind of premature at this point. You know, he was a really good quarterback coming out of college. I think he was, you know, he slipped into the second round. That's why the Eagles even took him in the first place. I'm not saying he's going to come in here and be our savior, but I think that to answer your question, they each get a year apiece. I think if the Eagles don't cut bait with the coaching with Doug Peterson this offseason, I think there's a potential for that conversation to be had. But if we end up moving forward with both the same quarterback and the same coach next year, the clock is ticking. They got 1 year, in my opinion.
I agree, Tim. I totally agree. Yeah, it's one more year with them too. Yeah, you're right. He won us the Super Bowl. They're going to hold on to him. Carson is our quarterback, but there can be changes made. Get rid of Jim Schwartz. All right, we need a new defensive coordinator. I think that's something that we've probably spent too much time giving him more and more chances. I know as the years kept going, us winning the division or coming back and after a horrible beginning of the season and then finishing off strong, that's kept his job. But this year, it's totally it. He's got to go. We need an offensive coordinator. They need to cut the bullshit. Even if they decide to get one within the staff that we have right now, Deuce Daly, Moorhead, whatever, I mean, that's fine. But those are the type of changes that we got to go ahead and start making. So, I mean, I totally agree with you. But no matter what, changes have to be made within the organization.
I guess, absolutely. Why do we need to hire outside when we have Deuce and Marty as coaches? But I think if you want to look at Scangarello, you want to look at somebody, if any of those guys were their plan for the, who's going to be the default guy if Doug messes up? Like if one of those guys is your guy, I'm thinking Scangarello is, give him a shot. Let him dial up some plays this week. Because if I'm Lurie, because I'm putting my foot down, I'm going in there end game style. Press Taylor. You know,
love it.
Coach is just like disappearing. Like at this point in the season, I'm looking for some progress. And if I don't see any, we haven't seen progress. That right now is the definition of insanity. Doing the same damn thing week in, week out with no results. That's insanity.
Certainly is.
Well, I think, Doug Peterson. Sorry.
No, I was done.
I was just going to say that Doug Peterson, honestly, we might not make any changes this year, but I think we should. I really think that Doug Peterson, he's proven that he's not handling the media well. Things are just not going well for him. I think that Jeffrey needs to step in, and maybe it's Press Taylor, Rich Scangarello, somebody, but you got to change things. Gail just said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. This is BS. You got to change it up. Rich Scangarello runs the ball more, his history. So I would love to see that. But right now, this is a dumpster fire. And if you want to have any hope, like Gail said, with Ertz and Sean, all that stuff coming back, you got to make some damn changes, because I'm not finding any hope. But I don't think this team's giving up. I don't think football players are really going to go out and do that. They're going to fight, but they better make some damn changes.
Now, T. Shads makes a point. Do you think the optimistic front office changes of the Sixers put pressure on the Eagles and stuff? It's a whole different ball game, but it's it does make you think, if you're Lurie and you're looking at your organization, like, maybe I might need to make some changes. So if you're looking at, what's his name? Coach of the Sixers. I'm drawing
Doc
blank.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, Doc Rivers.
Well, bringing in Doc Rivers after just Brett Brown, year after year of what Brown in the same mindset. Sometimes you have to bring in different attitudes and different changes of voice. And I think we talked about it, is Doug Peterson's message getting stale?
Yeah. And I think there's a – go ahead. Were you going to finish?
No, I was just thinking. I was like, in my head, I'm like, I think Doug Peterson has issues with Carson Wentz.
I think there's a lot of parallels between that Sixers team with Brett Brown and this Eagles team. I mean, that Sixers team had pieces like Embiid and Ben Simmons, who are clearly really good players. I think that we do have really good players on this Eagles team, and they're just not being utilized correctly. And that, to me, just points to coaching. That's the issue here. You know, the Sixers recognize that, and they put what we expect to be a real head coach to, you know, make Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid bring us the glory. We need the same sort of mindset for this Eagles team.
Timmy, with a question, with a statement. I hope we don't waste Miles Sanders.
Oh, you will with Doug.
Dang.
I mean, it's like, be real. He's not a run happy coach. I mean, he falls out of the Andy Reid tree where Andy didn't run the ball. Doug's not going to run the ball. So, I mean, what are you going to do with him?
Do you think Bieniemy would fall out of the same tree?
I don't. I personally don't. I don't, because I think that he has, and I think that he would put people around him. I mean, and maybe this is a knock, you know, the knock again on Doug, but you have guys around you like a Deuce who is constantly telling you that, hey, we might need to run the ball here. Hey, we might need to think about running the ball, you know, on this down. When you're third and one, you shouldn't be looking to throw a pass. You should be looking to run the ball with a guy who's averaging 6 yards a carry.
Nope. Yeah, that's a big one last week. I remember against the Giants. It was 3rd and 1, throw the ball 15, 16 yards downfield and complete. And it's like, he's hot too. First game back, he's hot. Miles is hot. Give him the ball. He's going to get that 1 yard and more. So, I mean, that's a big thing I would hate to see, especially Miles. He's a young kid. He has heart. He loves his team. And he's a tough runner. He's a tough runner, and he opens it up for Boston Scott as well.
Yeah, I mean, Boston Scott has been coming on lately, and it's not like after watching this game, you're realizing that they can move the ball successfully. 96 yards in the first half, bro. Like, there's no reason for you to stop running the ball. No. Once you started to get back in your old ways, things got a little hectic. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, again, I go back to that. Like, I shouldn't have to be saying, like, we got to protect Carson Wentz from making some mistakes, but – That's what happened to that.
It gets frustrating because it's like Doug is helping these opposing defenses with the play calling. Like you're gonna go ahead and keep on choosing pass plays. These guys are just gonna go ahead and sit back and expect a pass play. There's not gonna be no pressure, you know what I mean? That's the reason why these defensive backs are so tight on our wide receivers. You're not changing the game. You throw a couple run plays or you know, offset a little bit, maybe 10 run plays compared to 6 passing plays, at least you'll get their mindsets like, oh shit, what's it gonna be? Is it gonna be a run? Is it gonna be a pass? But no, keep on with the same goddamn thing. And yeah, you making all these defensive players look like studs. Yeah, I keep hearing every goddamn week about, oh, this defensive player, shut this guy down. Look how he's playing. And he's not even like that.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, and I think Paul brought up a good point, and like we were just talking about, I hope that Miles Sanders doesn't get wasted by Doug Peterson. Look at how we've seen the regression of Carson Wentz this year. Hopefully, Doug Peterson doesn't contribute to a regression of anybody else. That's how I'm looking at it, too. I mean, like, we're sitting. What was that?
It's contagious, bro.
It is. It's straight up contagious. Like, and it all starts at the top, and I think that Doug Peterson it's been really detrimental to Carson's progress. This is, like Tim said, this is year 5, man. This is year 5.
And still making rookie mistakes, too. You know, it's just like last week with that little, I forgot who he threw the ball to, but he pump fake. He hesitated and then threw it, and it was incomplete when you had the first down. If you were to just do it, it's a 3-step drop. 1-2, boom, get the ball out.
He's the gun shy gunslinger.
He had
gun shy gunslinger.
Yeah, that's original. I can't take credit.
It's hard to open it up when Carson only dumps 5-7 yard passes. Yeah. I mean, that was his best friend. That's him and Ertz's connection is 5-7 yards downfield. He'll either sit or he's gonna do a little slam, maybe like a little dig on it to the inside. But that's it. He's not going deep. And he has an arm. That's the thing. He has an arm. Yeah. He just doesn't have the chemistry and trust within his receivers to make it because. Look, last year with Nelson and JJ just shit in the bed.
Those players are the ones that are really frustrated seeing these little quick dump ball passes.
Well, it goes along with what you were saying before.
That's his like safety net, but I mean, bomb it downfield. You could build trust like Rager. he, you know, we've seen him, I think, in what, week one or two, it's like he had like a 50-yard catch. I think it was like the first game. It's like Hightower. I know Hightower can be that guy. Hightower is has the speed. You know, he was hoping to get Alshon, prime Alshon, Deshaun, but that's not happening, obviously. I mean, Alshon didn't even go for that ball in the last interception he has. And it's like, and just turning the ball over, too. Like, oh, my goodness. It's sickening. It's sickening, too.
How many targets did – can anybody tell me how many targets Alshon had today?
Two.
Three, I think.
Three?
I counted he was three. Yeah, I counted it was three.
I know he dropped one. Could have been the first down. Dropped one. That one to the interception, I forgot the other one. Oh, he did catch one, I think. I think he did catch one. Yeah, yeah. One.
My thing is the way that they're using Rager. They're still not targeting him enough. They're still not utilizing him enough. I think utilizing him again. We're just asking for a jet sweep. I don't care if you fake the jet sweep. Just some repetitive motion to play off with either some play action or counter with some runs. Because the idea of Jalen Rager just going, you know, pre-snap motion gives Carson Wentz some reads, some easy reads. Like, you know, someone's running across the field with him. Okay, we got some zone here. I know what I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable. If you can recognize the blitz a little bit better. If you see guys moving around, maybe that helps him out a little bit. But using some of those play designs that would help or just even like, you know, if you give Rager a jet sweep twice or three times in a game just to keep teams honest, it could work wonders. Oh, yeah. You know, we're just talking about like dressing up a pig right now. Put lipstick on this pig right now because make it look different. You know it looks bad, it looks ugly. Yeah. But at least make it look a little pretty and easier for Carson Wentz moving forward because he's having issues. Again, you see the hiccups, you see the hitches in the throw motion. You're seeing the, you know, him trying to hold on to the ball and make things happen when he can just let it rip. He doesn't want to let it rip. That's the most frustrating part about Carson Wentz, not letting it rip.
And he's hesitating. You know, we see it. He's hesitating his first pump read. Fakes. He's hesitating. just get it out. Ball. I mean, what's the worst I can have? Like my buddy and I, like we went 0-9 last week on third down. Today we went like 2-10 or 2-9. It's like something. I mean, it's not gonna get any worse. I mean, we're sitting at what, 3-6-1. It's not gonna get any worse. 3-7-1.
Can it?
With the shitty division, we still have a chance. That's the crazy part about it. We still have a chance.
No. Yeah, we go. Imagine like it feels the worst right now.
Yeah,
unless it gets worse than this.
It feels the worst right now. Wait till 4 weeks from now.
Right. Yeah, like somebody on Twitter earlier posted like, how can the Eagles ruin my Christmas? Or I hope they don't ruin my Christmas. I'm like, you not seen the next four games? Like,
yeah.
It's coming. It's going to hit us, but it's expected. Like, we know what's
going to happen. It's like a top 10 pick under my tree. I tell you that.
I mean, they're already ruined Thanksgiving. And they didn't even
say it. I'm telling you right now, all you guys are going to be having extra gray, especially in the beard and the stashes. That's to come. And you might be losing hair, too. That's just coming as Eagles fans. I was going to tell you guys, the last time I felt like kind of happy with this Eagles team was like last year when we played the Green Bay Packers because we went up to Green Bay. I don't think we were expected to win. And it felt like Doug and Carson were kind of like, okay, we're going to fight, right? And then you have Jordan and Sanders, thundered and lightning. And I thought we figured it out, man. I said, wow, the Eagles have really figured this out. I was really excited. And then after that, I don't know, man. Like, I haven't felt any – like, I know the last three games last year. But I felt like where we were in the fight was when we played Green Bay. And now we're just gone from that now. And that was – we stuck with thunder and lightning, and now we just have a little bit of thunder, and then they're taking that away from us. So I don't know what Doug's doing here. He keeps switching things up, and it's not working.
Big Fish Little Boat wants to cut Yoda, send a message, not doing after they paid him. But, you know, whatever you can do to get Melotta on the field, I would go there. I would go there and get younger guys involved. I don't know, man. Mike says this offense is very vanilla. I don't know if it's got vanilla in it. There's no flavor to this offense.
Yeah, it's just straight cream. It's just straight cream. It's like sour cream.
Gelatin. I just wish Carson would actually become a leader that he can be and change the plays. Like, I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. He faked like he couldn't hear the plays and changed it up. I mean, 3rd and 7, you do an RPO. 3rd and 7, RPO, and I believe he got sacked on that play. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, what are you doing? It's 3rd and 7 RPO. Like, what?
It's nonsense.
I don't know. It's horrible. It's shitty.
Does that become a slipperier slope, though? Does that become a slipperier slope if Carson's on the field making play calls when Doug's telling him to do certain things? And now you have that tension between the two of them, the play caller and, you know, the executor on the field. I mean, right now,
I'll take that shit.
I want all the smoke. Yeah, give it to me.
We're already in the position that we're in right now. Fuck it. Go with it.
At least we would see some kind of passion out of somebody.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, just jumpstart somebody's heart.
I think this week is about to be really uncomfortable, to be honest with you. NovaCare, it's going to be uncomfortable in the building. Really? The press conferences are going to be uncomfortable, I want every second of it. I want to be injected in my veins. I want the blush red cheeks. I want it all.
I want a Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader moment where I am your father, and then he just cuts off Carson's wrist, hand. And then it's just really awkward. You know what I mean? But
Doug, and Carson are in marriage rehab, bro. They're in marriage rehab. That's all. Yeah. This whole season is they're in therapy, and it's not working. I don't know who the counselor is, but it ain't working.
You know what? Yeah, and it might be best for the kids, us, if they just got a divorce. I gotta be honest.
I mean, it might.
All right. So if we're spending Christmas, where are we spending Christmas at?
It was a divorce. Hotel. Halfway between both their houses.
Hiding from all Dallas fans.
Well, I'm going to Jalen's house.
Like if
I'm your Jalen.
You're going to your where are you going, Nick?
Oh, I said I'm hanging with Jalen because like say if Carson does change the plays and he gets benched.
Oh, he said Jalen's house.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Even more word you with like the side chick, Evan.
It's tough, man. But I think I'm going to Carson's house. I don't want to hang out with Doug. I don't want to look at his face. I don't want. I'm gonna sit down at that table and he's gonna talk down to me the entire time and tell me about how he's actually doing the right things when I can just point to every example as to why he's in the wrong.
Where are you going for Christmas?
I'm going to Carson's house too. I'm gonna push that person down. I'm gonna go ahead and smack him in the face a couple of times. You know? be that cousin that bullies him to get him toughened up. You know what I mean? Hey, look, it doesn't hard to snap back a little bit. You know what I mean? So do whatever it is you got to do. Let's keep together.
Tim, where are you going?
I'm with the fellas. I'm going to Carson's. I mean, you know, Doug, we already established the sour cream, so I can't honestly go over there. I mean, I don't even know if he knows how to cook. So at least at Carson's, I know he's got a wife and kids. So there's got to be some food in the cupboards. There's got to be something over there. So I'm going to his house. I'm trying to kick him in his butt. I'm doing something, slapping him around. I might, you know, grab his kid and hang him upside down and be like, "Hey, you're next if you don't get this together." Because I don't know what else we can do.
Get it together, you ice cream eating mother.
Yeah, no rocky road for none of y'all.
Birdman, where are you going?
I'm gonna pay a visit to Carson with a special guest. I'm gonna be like, "Hey, man, I want you to be my new homie."
Oh, I know what's coming.
he goes by the name of Hertz. He wants to see what you're brewing over here. So
I thought his name was gonna be Louisville.
Yeah,
Louisville. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, that's a good one too.
I think you know, I know Doug probably puts raisins in the potato salad.
He puts raisins in his mac and cheese.
And he doesn't bake it either.
I'm going to Carson's house because I feel like they might have some sweet potatoes and some yams. I'm definitely going to Carson's house.
You know he killed the bird too.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, it's fresh. Yeah, it's fresh.
Fresh bird
in his backyard out in Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, that's
got a little piece of bow and arrow in this one.
There's some feathers in that turkey leg.
Yeah.
It's just, it's going to be rough, man. It's going to be rough going forward. I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, This is the thing, though. This is the next four games. Say if we go 2-4. Say, just somehow, some way.
How's that math check out?
Listen, I see. I feel like we can beat the Packers. I feel strong against the Packers. I feel strong against the Packers.
What did you see today that makes you say that?
It was just I wouldn't play the Niners. I just had a feeling that was a game we were going to turn it around. We obviously didn't, but that was one game under the belt. I say 0-4, more than possible, but there's a chance we go 2-2.
Yeah, because he thinks Rodgers is going to get COVID-19. You're putting a curse on Rodgers. That's why he said that.
Okay. That's that optimism right there.
What's the status on Drew Brees? Is he done for the season, or is Taysom still going to start? Yeah.
Our luck, he'll be back when he plays us.
Our luck, yeah.
Odds we have a Taysom Hill versus Jalen Hurts game.
Oh,
the two jazz quarterbacks.
Yeah.
My buddy just DM'd me on IG, said he wants to see Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts. That'd be nice.
Taysom Hill's going to kill us either way, with Breeze or not. He's going to kill us. After he watches that Daniel Jones, he's going to be like, Daniel Jones did that to you guys?
Jackson.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Taysom Hill is going to definitely run over our whole entire secondary.
He's going to eat.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a wrap, because there's not a person on our secondary, and I don't care. Jalen Mills, I hope you're watching this. Hell no. There's not a secondary corner, a safety on our team who will come up and lay a smack.
Yeah.
So I'm calling all of you out.
And building off of that, all of this Carson and Doug hate, let's not get lost in the mist about the fact that Avante and Cravon need to be held in check too, because they
have I literally told a friend of mine while we were watching the game, I said, there's Avante Maddox. I cannot stand this man. And he literally gave up the next play. I was just like, That's why he's absolute garbage. And I heard a beat writer through the week was talking about, after he was mic'd up for Giants game, that he was an improving corner and that he's one of the top corners on the Philadelphia Eagles team. I was like, you must be blind, because there's no way that that's possible. You need to be fired immediately. Your editor should be fired. The whole company should be shut down, because I don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah, Avante is too busy on his Twitch stream. He's too much of a gamer. He probably plays Madden better than he does corner.
Well, I think you got to think about who's setting him up for success. Like, we all knew. I mean,
Schwartz.
We're talking about him being on the inside, but who thought he was going to be an outside corner? No one.
Yeah, no. That's him, nickel, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you have to blame the guy who's trying to set him up for success. You're not bringing him up to succeed in that type of position.
Absolutely.
Coaching, you know.
See, I'm glad Darius Slay came in great. Because if we would have drafted him, no Pro Bowl, no nothing. Nothing like that. He came in great, and he's holding up, which him and Alex Singleton got heart on defense. Brandon Graham, and I want to say Fletcher Cox. Other than that, I don't see that defense really have much heart.
Malik Jackson is showing up there here and there.
Flashes. He's showing up as well.
Sweat as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we talk about Josh Sweat for a second? Can we talk about how this guy has been producing game in and game out? Mm-hmm. And along with others, like you said, you know, Brandon Graham's, the Fletcher Cox, have been trying to do whatever they can to hold this defense together. And it's the supporting elements around that are just failing them consistently. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, this guy is literally he's beating, you know, all pro type O linemen and getting sacks in every game. And we're just brushing it off like it's nothing. I mean, this is great for us going forward, but the rest of this defense has to come together.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think this defense looks like if they had a competent offense? You see a defense, an offense that puts up at least 25 a game.
I mean, you think about all of the good field position that the opposing team has been given just by how awful this team has been. I mean, Carson is like leading the league in turnovers this year. Yeah. So if you keep them off the field,
and we're doing our thing.
If your opponent is starting on your side of the field more often than not, then your defense, statistically in the box score, it's not going to look pretty. They're not being put in a good situation.
And think about also, too, I mean, you know, along with the turnovers, think about the fact that every time our defense is on the field, they are trying to rush the passer. That's what Jim Schwartz likes to do. He likes to play four linemen and let them rush and play coverage.
Yep.
So every time they're on the field, they're playing the run, but they're playing the run to get to the pass. So if we're up, like we're talking, by, you know, 20 points, we're putting those 30 burgers up like we were in 2017, then the defense is allowed to go hunt in the second and third quarter when we know we're up by 17 points. Those guys can just pin their ears back and go get a Baker Mayfield and get where we would have probably be at least we would have at least probably, I would say, 3 double digit sack players on our defense. I'm gonna make this statement right now.
Yeah, if we had a better offense. Yep.
If we had a better offense. I'm giving 3 double sack players on our defense if we had a better offense.
Yep.
Hey fellas, I'm a cut out. All right, I gotta go handle daddy duties. I'll talk to you.
There's actually been an emergency meeting outside of Doug's office. You know, Carson's like, you know what the plays are? Howie's like, I don't know, guys. Schwartz is like, you're putting me in a terrible situation. And Jeff Lurie's like, Doug, you've been basic as fuck. I don't know what to say to you, but I think who has the most to say here in this room?
It would have to be Jeff. Ultimately, it's the boss, man. He is in control of this entire team. He's the one that signs the checks. And he has to actually come down here with an iron fist and not accept this, poor coaching, this awful dread that we see week after week. He has to come down and say, hey, something needs to change or else you guys are going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
That the Philadelphia Eagles stock, if we have stock in anywhere, it has to be on the decline, because who's out there buying stuff except for Gil over there trying to get his coupon on? I see that.
I'm trying to give you all gifts. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be a better man.
Gil, let me ask you something real quick. I see on the Twitter line about Sidney Jones, and I can't think of the other guy right now.
Rasul Douglas.
Rasul, you know, they're saying that they're being, you know, more successful that now that they're not Eagles. Do you buy into that, or
I think
are you just kind of like
them utilized correctly? You're using
in a good scheme,
Rasul in a zone type situation versus like leaving. There's no such thing as Rasul Island, but over here, Schwartz left him on the island. Would you leave Rasul Douglas on an island with Scary Terry? No, but that's what happens. I mean, Jim Schwartz will leave Rasul Douglas on Julio Jones. He's done it. I mean,
you got a pick on that play. I mean,
Rasul made a play, but yeah, I'm saying like he will take chances with Rasul versus Amari Cooper, who's like a route free god. So, I mean, he takes chances, but like if you put him in a zone type situation, he could flourish better. You know,
we're
players in a position to succeed.
In that case, we're kind of losing in that situation, because when we're leaving up to business calls like that, we're just putting it all on Schwartz, and we're just coming up. He's just coming up with, there it is. You know, he's kind of just leaving us Eagle fans just wanting something to see something. And I don't know what we're doing. We're just, as Eagle fans, we're just looking and we're just watching this. Like, did you just really let that guy just wide open? Like, especially Claypool. I mean, come on, dude. What is it that we always let these guys, that rookies, even Jameis Winston came in and freaking spanked us at home. Remember that game? Like, why is it we find some kind of
players
way,
look
dude.
Good? Yeah, all I've been hearing is Claypool has had 10 touchdowns in 10 games. I'm like, 4 of those came again in one. You know, it's like, oh, the Washington football team, that D line is gonna flourish. They had, I forgot how many sacks they had up on us on week one, and same with Chase Young had like I think 2 on Carson maybe in week one. He's only had 3.5. He's only at 3.5 right now. It's like we make teams look good,
right?
But, yeah, even
in a bad way.
Before even we get Burrow. We're going on the hour and a half mark, guys.
It's depression therapy, man.
It's a lot.
Before we leave out of here, if we're gonna leave with positivity at the end of the day. I know it's a bad situation. Give us one thing that you can be positive about moving forward with the Super Bowl team that you want to see, even if I know we're in a bad situation, but I'm saying, Aaron.
Oh, damn. What's a linebacker's name that was
Singleton?
Pretty, yeah, I was happy. I don't want to get too excited, and then the next week he's not even there or something. He gives up three interceptions or something. But I was happy to see, like, somebody rising from the ground. So, and then I was also happy with Sweat. But I'm also scared because I feel like when people start doing good, they just kind of run away from it. So, but Singleton and Sweat looked pretty good out there.
All right, Timmy, what do you got?
I mean, it's rough. I'm going to have to dig. I think for me, the positive light for Eagles Nation has to be that we're getting guys back. I mean, Zach Ertz coming back possibly next week. You know, Alshon played again this week, looked good. Knock on wood, didn't take any kind of setbacks. Dallas came out, was pretty hot in the first half, you know, looked kind of good. Miles is coming back, running strong. I think he had, 16 carries today for like 80 yards. So, I mean, you know, the guys that we do have coming back towards this gauntlet stretch that we have coming up, we should be kind of healthy. Now we got to see going forward, you know, what's going on with Jason Kelce, what we're going to do at the left tackle position. But I would say any ounce of positivity has to go to the fact that we are finally, cross fingers, getting somewhat healthier going towards the end of this rush.
Nick, one thing you got?
Oh, man.
It about sums it up.
Yeah, that sums it up. I mean, going forward is just
– Thanksgiving's coming up.
I can't really – I mean, Derek Slay is still balling out regardless of the record and what's Slay. Going on. He's used to it being on the Lions, but, I mean – he's still balling out, which I'd love to say. I say just like how he said, you know, getting healthy. That's the biggest thing, man. Health is wealth.
I'm just looking at this running back core, and I'm really honestly happy with what we have. I think that we have a good 1-2 punch in both Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. I like the two of them. I would like to have both of them moving forward. I think they play well off of each other. I think Jordan Howard coming into this it improves it a little bit, nothing drastic. But moving forward, I would like to in this offseason get a legit power back that could be a running back three. You don't have to, like, obviously spend high for him. He's going to be a running back three, but just someone that can move a line. And other than that, just the development of our players. I want to see more of those linebackers that just can't seem to find the field. Just see what we have out there. I want to see the continued progression of Rager. And, yeah, that's where I'm at. I just want to see development.
Yeah, I'm strictly looking at the younger players, guys that need to get an opportunity to play, whether it be Jordan Mailata, whether it be, Jalen Rager, see what he has and brings to the table. I think Miles Sanders, again, want to see what – keep on feeding him the rock, I guess, protecting Wentz from himself at this moment, which I don't – you know, that's a bad scene right there. Take some chances with the play calling. You have nothing to lose at this point. It's an opportunity to get better, and I think this is where we're at. But if we're looking at this 2020 season, I'm going to leave you guys with this meme right here, and then we will close it out from here, but enjoy.
No, Mama. There's no hope for him now, Travis. He's suffering. You know we've got to do it.
I know, Mama. He was my dog. I'll do it. Thank you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.